community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
It is 12 minutes past one. Good afternoon. Welcome to the programme and very, very warm welcome to my special guest this morning. Fresh from a very, very special year for Thoroughcourse players, isn't it? Because you directed the play that won, best production in the whole east of England.
Yes, hello, Mike. Yeah, it was very gratifying. There was a lot of work went into that play. And, I can reveal that obviously you were involved in just a little bit. I was really proud of the production, proud of the cast. And although I directed it, standing back from it, I think it really deserved that award. It was still a surprise to us.
It was a massive surprise. We're talking about Vicar of Dibley, we just
swept the board. Didn't we?
Yeah,
it was almost embarrassing.
It's almost tempting to do it again, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, that's
maybe I still know my word.
that's maybe what I'm trying with this latest play, The Ghost Train.
Yeah. So. Tell us about The Ghost Train. This is a very old play. Why did you choose The Ghost Train?
Well, it's a timeless story. I think probably in a way, Arnold Ridley was the first to harness a fairly timeless sort of story of people stranded out of their comfort zone, but with what was then modern technology, steam locomotion power. And he wrote it in 1924, and it was then first produced in 1925. And it all arose as a result of him being stranded at a railway station.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, in Mangotts Field, which is just outside Bristol. And he was stranded in this godforsaken station, sort of miles from anywhere. And I found out that as he stood on this station and he had to spend all night there, there was like a loop line that went hidden behind the other side of the station, and it used to carry the express trains from Bristol up to the Midlands.
Okay.
So he was experiencing this effect of a train hurtling towards him, apparently thundering through the station, but no physical sign of a train. And he had this idea of a ghost train coming through the station, and what if you were trapped there and you knew that it was coming?
Okay, and Arnold Ridley, of course, is far more better known as a playwright. He's better known as an actor because he had a huge role, didn't he, in Dad's Army. And I've forgotten his name.
Godfrey.
Godfrey.
Private Godfrey.
Always needing the toilet.
Always needing the toilet,
and
yes.
Aunt Dolly, yes.
Might I be excused, Captain Mannering? Certainly not Godfrey.
Yeah, exactly. So, 1924. Why did you want to do this play?
It's a very well-written play. It really does build up the suspense. You've got two young couples, one couple of newlyweds, and the other married about 2 years, and it's clear the first couple are really loved up. It's their wedding day. They're off onto their honeymoon, and the other couple, a little bit of tension, more than a little bit of tension between them. There's a Victorian spinster. They're all stranded from this train because another one of the passengers, a chap called Teddy Deakin, a young foppish fellow, stupidly sticks his head out the carriage window to look at the sparks flying out the chimney, and his hat blows off. What does he do? Instead of going to buy a new hat, he pulls the communication cord. They get stranded while he goes and tries to find his hat, and they miss their connection at Foul Vale Station in deepest, darkest Cornwall. In rural Cornwall, yes, indeed.
Okay.
And that's where the story starts, because you see them coming into the waiting room with old Saul Hodgkin, the station master, welcoming them. Well, here. That's as much welcome as they do get.
Yeah.
Is a real gnarled old local. And they said, well, we'll spend the night here. Oh, you can't do that. No. You know what station this is? This is Foul Vale Station. And then we go from that sort of very jocular, slightly frothy, almost comedic introduction of these characters and the tensions amongst them, especially with this chap having stranded them there. He then tells them the ghost story of what actually happened at the station and how a train, because the old station master collapsed and died on the platform, he was unable to switch the points, and the express train, or this local train coming up from Truro, bringing the locals back from a bean feast, went straight off. The swing bridge wasn't shut, and they went straight in the river. Six people died. They brought the bodies and laid them out in the waiting room, and he said, not for love nor money would I stay here. You must be mad.
I see.
So they're now stuck, and he says, well, you can stay if you like, I'm going. And he goes. And then, at a certain point, a little further on, there's a knock at the door, or a slumping sound at the door, and he's dead. on the platform.
Don't give it away.
No, no, lots more to happen. And you've just got used to this group of people stranded when a distressed young lady turns up. She's convinced she's going to see the ghost train. And now they have to deal with that. They've just got settled again and started to cope with this story that they've been told. And she is now here, almost hysterical. I've got to see it, I've got to see it. You mustn't stay here, but I've got to see it. And anybody who sees it dies. And the story progresses from there.
Well, I saw the Erith production, and I knew nothing about this play.
Yeah.
And I must admit that the success, I think, of the play is the tension, because there is massive tension in it. And you're almost uncomfortable in your seat watching this, because it is so good.
What is lovely about it is that Arnold wrote in the dialogue of the time, rather like Shakespeare wrote in his dialogue, Molière would have written in his language, and so on and so on. So you've got I wouldn't quite call it prose, but it is beautifully written, and it's very real 1920s society, and it's like a little cross-section of society. So it lives and it breathes, and the cast have really taken to this. And as you say, you saw the Erith production. It's just a wonderful evening's entertainment. I'm not going to say what happens towards the end, but there are twists and turns. And it's a wonderful evening's entertainment.
Is this a play that gets revived in the West End from time to time? Did it have a good West End run when it originally was done?
Yeah, when it first came out, it was November 1925, and it ran until it came out to I think the quotes were underwhelming reviews from the theatre critics.
Oh dear.
But who listens to them?
So did Les Mis.
Yeah, exactly. Who listens to them, you know? And it played solid through to March 1927, some 600 plus performances. And in my book, that's a success. And it's continued to be a very popular theatrical production. Some films were made. My research found out that the first film was made in 1927. That was a silent. And then the second one was made in 1931, and that starred Jack Hulbert. And there's only five reels of the film, the movie itself, and only two reels of the soundtrack left.
Oh, what a shame.
It's a great shame. There's 1932, there was an uncredited one. And the fifth one that's credited was derived from it, Oh, Mr. Porter, starring Will Hay. But it more inspired that story because, trust me, you've got to see The Ghost Train by Arnold Ridley because it can't be bettered. He really hit the jackpot with that one. He wrote about 30 plays in his lifetime, but this is the one that he's really remembered for, and it's a beautifully crafted play.
I remember reading somewhere also that backstage you had about 8 or 10 people working the lighting effects, which is...
This is cracking. Train effects. I'm reading from the back of the script now. One tubular bell, one garden roller propelled over bevel-edged struts screwed to the stage, 30 inches apart, one 18-gallon galvanised iron tank, one thunder sheet, air cylinders from the British Oxygen Company, Wembley. This is all the original stuff. One rope drum and a pair of sticks, two side drums, one small padded mallet, a large padded mallet, one medium mallet, one wire drum brush, one milk churn, one pea whistle, one train whistle, one whistle on cylinder, and electric hand-driven motors... Two slides to give shadows of carriage windows of the train, and and a tin amplifier for steam with a counterweight placed in the mouth, its mouth.
And you've got all that, have you?
And a crew of eight.
Yeah, and you've got all that ready.
No.
No, it's all dead things.
No.
How's rehearsals going?
Really well. Really well. It's a privilege to see it again and again and again, because it is such a beautifully written play.
Mm.
I've got a really good cast, and it's gonna be good. The rehearsals are going well. And it is going to be a good production. It's going to be great.
Right, we better say where and when then, hadn't we?
Yes, we had. That's a good idea, he said, reaching for the handbill, so I get it right. Because I should get slaughtered if I get this wrong. So it's the 22nd to the 24th of September at the Thameside Theatre, Orsett Road, Grays. Evening performances are at 7:45. We're also having to put on a matinee due to demand, and the tickets are going quite rapidly for that. So if you want to come to the theatre... And you want to be scared, but you want to go home in the daylight, we're running a matinee for you.
Fantastic.
And the really brave people can come along at the other performances, 7:45 curtain up, and the box office number is 07475-634-474.
Right, what's next for you?
Me?
Yeah.
I've been dragooned into the Courts Panto.
Yeah, this is a new adventure.
February.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Who are you playing?
I'm playing the Alderman. And I'm doing it a bit like that, you know.
Yeah, of course. I think you have to. You just say the word all, and you have to immediately do that voice, don't you? I don't know why.
And drifting into, yes. You know.
And this is a new venture for Court Speakers. This is an adult panto, isn't it? It's full-flung adult panto.
It's, yes. The adult has different connotations, but it's meant to be, it's humour specifically for grown-ups. Don't bring your kids.
Yes.
You've been warned.
Not for the vicar.
Or faint-hearted.
Yes, and that's February, isn't it?
February,
that's
going on.
Right. And an exciting time for Courts. I know they've got lots of new members, and the books are healthy, so lots of drama clubs struggle. Drama clubs always suffer for men, but Courts don't suffer for men. Lack of men, I'm sure, should I say.
Not now, we don't know. But and what I'm pleased about this production of Ghost Train is I've been able to cast it age range, as in the basically in the book. So that's very satisfying.
Yeah.
So I'm keen about the whole authentic approach that I'm adopting. So you're going to come and see a 1920s play with all the characters all correctly cast. It's going to be a good experience, and you've got a slice of 1924 theatre.
Right. Tough question for you. Mm-hmm. Why should I come and see this play?
Because I'll take you out in the car park and slap you if you don't. No.
Sell it to me in 1 minute.
In 1 minute? Oh, I'll do it in 30 seconds.
Go on then.
It's a fabulous blend of scary, fear, thriller, light comedy. It's a roller coaster. It'll take you by twist and by turn, and it'll slap you in the face at the end. You think, oh my goodness, that's the end. What a good ending.
Fight to get a ticket. The Ghost Train by Arnold Ridley is on the 22nd to the 24th of September, with an after the matinee, 3 o'clock, I believe. Is it 3 o'clock, just the matinee? You don't know.
I don't know anything. I'm lucky to find my way home from here.
Exactly. evening performs at 7:45 at the Thameside Theatre at Walsingham Road Grays. The box office number is 07475-634-474. If you haven't got a pencil, just Google Thameside Theatre, or even better still, Google Thurrock Courts Players. Get on the website. The full details are there. Martin, you want to say something else?
Oh, yes. I just wanted... We've got a photo... We did a photo shoot, which will be on our website fairly shortly. And it was taken at the Colne Valley Railway, and I just want to personally pay thanks to Sally Halls, my contact there. They were so helpful, and they allowed us to take the photo shoot in a 1925 Pullman carriage that they've got.
Brilliant.
It's absolutely beautiful, and the one linked to it is 1950, and that's the one that the Queen actually specified that she wanted in her train when she would go to Sandringham.
Wow.
So we're so indebted to them, and they let us use the station room. The pictures look fantastic.
Brilliant. Martin, we wish you all the best for this production. Just a final reminder, 22nd of September it opens, The Ghost Train by Arnold Ridley, Thameside Theatre, 07475-634-474. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you very much.
You'll be knocked out, come around, shot down, shatter on the stony ground.